Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Happy to have you with us. But first, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors we have here on the show. The NFL draft is one of the most anticipated days of any football fan's calendar, and that also means fantasy football season is not too far behind. DynastySportsEmpire.com is going to change the way you play fantasy football. DSE offers fantasy football gamers of all skill levels an opportunity to draft and retain your well-maintained rosters and players for their entire NFL career. Highlighted with large rosters, high-scoring games, easy payouts, and an amazing online community, DSE has everything you would want in a challenging online experience. Please visit them online today at DynastySportsEmpire.com. That's DynastySportsEmpire.com. And check out all the amazing upcoming formats for this upcoming fantasy football season. Go check them out. We got a great episode for you today, so let's get to it.
Hey guys, this is Ryan Key, formerly of the band Yellow Card, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome on back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. I'm going to apologize right now to the Fantwans, Mike, the fans of Jonathan Antoine. I told them last week we literally talked about one thing we always do. We put out content on Mondays. No matter what, we get an episode up. We don't care what happens. And I bumbled it. I butt fumbled it.
You Sanchez'd it.
Yeah, I had a lot of things going on, and the days were going by, and the minutes were going by, and I couldn't get the episode up on time, so I had to do a late release, and I apologize. But if you're an optimist and you look at the glass half full, you get two episodes of Verbal Shenanigans closer together.
Well, didn't we do that last summer? Did we really get the thank God for us doing that?
Well, thank yous. We went on one hell of a run where we were doing two episodes a week. And if you look at our guest list that year, it was pretty ridiculous. Not going to lie. But
it was ridiculous because they couldn't go anywhere. So they said, oh, what the hey?
Yeah, well, most people feel like they can't go anywhere during our interviews. They want to get out of them, but they just can't do it.
Yeah, that's why we hire hitmen to make sure they just sit behind the door and be like, that thing cracks before we say our goodbyes, you know.
Right, that is our general, like, it's in the negotiation plans when we're like, hey, you got to go on the show. We have to send Charlie to your office.
Yep, and he's a professional. We give him strict instructions. If you don't hear Berlew say final question and you see that guest, you know what to do.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, welcome on back. That is Mike. I am Scott. Thank you to the new fans. Thank you to the old fans. It's good to be here on a Wednesday night, Mike. I'm a happy man, man. But I will tell you right now. I don't know if you ever want to have kids or whatnot, but I will tell you right now, things that you think are fun things to do have become no longer fun with children. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Mike, really? Are you a beach guy? I don't know if you're a beach guy. I know Georgia has some nice beaches.
I was never a beach guy.
Yeah.
Never in my repertoire of laying down in the sun or doing anything like that. I mean, I crackle in like 5 seconds of sunlight anyway. Yeah. So why would I go to a place where there's literally the biggest thing about it is absolutely no shade.
Yeah.
No way on earth you'll find it.
I like the beach. Like, I don't like it. I'm never a guy that could be like, hey, let's get there at 9 and stay till 5. No. But I love the beach in the early morning. And the best time on the beach is like that 5 o'clock, 4:30, like where everything's going down. You can sit. But yeah, I mean, if you look at my complexion, the beach is not for me from like the hours of 10 to 3. It's just not made for me.
But you're more of a midnight beacher.
Yeah. I do like the ocean. I always go in the water no matter what, whether it's cold or whatnot. I always got to go in a few times. But going to the beach with an infant. So it was Father's Day last weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're like, let's go to the beach. You know, it's we'll go to Point Pleasant. Now, let's preface. My father's getting older. My father's about 70 years old. My mother's getting older. She's 67, something like that. My mm-hmm. son can't walk. My son can't talk.
Lazy kid. Yeah. Just because, you're not one yet. Grow up. All right.
Makes you wonder when kids had it harder, like back in the day, because let's face it, our kids have like every toy imaginable and walkers and everything, bouncers. It makes you wonder if they had to evolve quicker. Like, were they like talking by like 3 months old back then or like walking by like 6 months just because like I got to evolve quickly to go into the fields and work with dad.
Well, you think of it, the original people on this continent, all like the pilgrims and all, they're probably like, look, the turkey just gave birth and the thing is already waddling. Why do you need like a year and a half to figure out those legs things?
See, Mike, the original people on this continent, believe it or not, were not the pilgrims.
I got the latest school textbooks. And all of them say it's the pilgrims.
It was just
Scott. My governor will fight you. They will sue you. You better watch out. Do not be teaching that stuff about, there was apparently Native Americans. Is that a fact? How come I don't see any anymore? Huh?
In the history books, they were just called obstacles. You know? Yeah. The pilgrims experienced harsh winters and obstacles in the way. Like eliminating half the Native Americans in their area. Yep.
When the pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock, they said, get out of here.
Did you just call it Pilgrim Rock? It's Plymouth Rock. Yeah. It's not Pilgrim. You're giving so much credit to the pilgrims right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Are you a pilgrim?
I come from a long line of pilgrims. Yeah, every year. But like literally my entire family migrates over from Europe in a big boat over to the United States. It's a big Burloo tradition.
And you all go to Pilgrim Rock together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we're not great with directions, so it's more like we have to find the Pilgrim Rock. It's not like we go in one place and like, there it is.
Right. So the fun of it is finding Pilgrim Rock every year because it's not the same rock.
Yeah. We start down at Key West and we keep on going north until we find our European brethren and all. It's like, oh, thank God they hit South Carolina this year. Remember that time we had to go up to Maine?
Man, Mike is throwing out pilgrims like gang symbols right now. Like, yo, Pete, you're throwing up that
Pete. Where my pilgrims at? Yo!
like, how many of you are still around the pilgrims?
You know, it's been getting less and less. I mean, we've been trying to find them Buckaloos to bring back the tradition, bring the whole family together as one. But,
right.
You know, I mean, it's getting harder and harder to get somebody onto a wooden ship and sail for like 30 days to get to America anymore.
So you're saying that people don't want to get aboard a wooden ship with you when you're screaming, come with the pilgrims, come with the pilgrims.
Come with the pilgrims, yo. Come on.
So in your eyes, the big gangs in the United States are like MS-13, the Bloods, the Crips, and the Pilgrims.
Well, you know, you got your Reds, you got your Blues, but us Pilgrims, we wear our black and whites, you know. We go old school. We go to OG.
I'm picturing you right now with your shirt off, but with like the Pilgrim tattoo like Tupac had, but like above your stomach, it just says Pilgrim. Yeah.
I got a gangster just like shirtless with a musket and a dead turkey in his other hand. And it's just so raw. And when I walk down the streets of Atlanta, they know it's like, oh, all right, walk to the other side of the road. Okay, this could be trouble.
Yeah, it just took me like 3 minutes to realize how we got to this pilgrim talk. I forgot that I was talking about bringing my son to the beach.
Were we?
Yeah.
I remember welcome and I just started ranting.
So that everybody, for now on, you're listening to Scott and Pilgrim Mike here on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
PM in the house.
Yo, PMB, baby. The PMB is in the house. Yeah. So, okay. So going to the beach. Now, we talked about this kind of like a couple weeks ago, how your parents are driving you crazy with their phone knowledge, if you will. So my parents get up early, and I was trying to get up early, but getting a kid out the door is almost impossible. I don't know how you mothers and fathers do it with like 3-4 kids. You're saints. But like if I said we're getting out at 8:30, because I'm always the planner. I'm always saying we're gonna leave at 8:30, get down there by 10 o'clock, leave by 2 o'clock, we'll be home by whatever. It turns out we're leaving by 9:30, you know, down there by 11, leaving by 4. You know, it's never easy. But so I say we're gonna get down there. We don't get down there. My parents get down there when they can because they're retired. And they can get up whenever they want. They literally have to put like a chair in the car and an umbrella, and they're on their way. So my parents, I'm like, whoever gets down there first in the group text message, because it was me, my brother, sister, whoever gets down there first, someone tell us where they're at. Because, you know, the beach is pretty big, Mike. It's a bold statement right here. The beach is pretty big, which, by the way, how the hell did people meet each other back in the day before cell phones? There had to be many a beach trip where people went down there and were like, didn't find you all day long, we just left. Like, it had to be a common thing.
I would imagine something with, like, big flags or flare guns or something like that.
Big pilgrim flags, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know it and all. They see that big old PMB flag, they're like, Burlew's over there.
just a flag of you and like Squanto shaking hands together, you know. The feast is over here, guys. Everyone's welcome. But yeah, my parents get down there. I'm like, just tell us where you're at. Okay. So my mom calls me. She goes, all right, you're going to get off the point. Now, this is why I'm in the car driving. There's no taking down directions or anything like that. You're going to get off at 34. You're going to make a right after all the rides. You're going to go down, make a left, and then a right, and then we're after that, after the beach hut, and then you keep walking down, and we're just, within 30 seconds, I lost. Like, no idea. I said, Mom, I have no idea where you are. So I said, Mom, all you have to do, you can share our location on your iPhone. You know, super easy. Just tell us where you're at. Boom! We'll be right there. So we spend the next 20 minutes in the car. Huh? Is my location being shared? Do you got my location? I don't know how to share. I'll call Alex, who's my wife. She calls Alex. I tried with Scott to share my location. I can't share my location. It said it did it. It said it. They always say that. It said it did it. It said it did it. But no location shared. I'm like, Mom, just tell me what street you parked on, you know, and we can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, yeah, Atlantic Avenue. Sure enough, all she had to tell us was Atlantic Avenue, because Atlantic Avenue butted up right to the beach, and they were right there, okay? So we get there. And now, so for the baby, I had packed his little octagon thing. It's actually, I think it's a hexagon that he could sit in, a chair he could sit up in, a blanket, his bag, which is like food and bottles, two chairs, a blanket for us, a umbrella, one of these sunshade things, drinks, fucking water, all that. So now I'm like a pack mule. We're walking. It's about a half a mile to the beach. Get to the beach. I got to go back and get the stuff I couldn't take. It's just a mess, okay? And then the baby's on the beach. Like he's cute for a while, but then he wants to be held. And then when you're not in the sun, you know, you're not in the umbrella. The baby's got to be moved around the umbrella. Where you try to make a bottle, like dump the formula into the bottle. The wind's blowing the formula all over the place. It is a disaster. Like, going to the beach used to be fun for me. I think I'm waiting till he's 15 years old to take him to the beach again.
Yeah, it sounds like something where you got to like spend half the day on the boardwalk and prepping everything before you can get down to the beach. And I feel like by the time you get to the beach, it's pretty much over. It'd probably be like, you look at your watch, it's like, it's 3 o'clock. We got to pack everything up just to beat traffic out of here.
100%. And then it was like, oh, my brother and his kids were going on the rides. Do you want to come to the rides? No. And then you got to say goodbye to everyone. Hey, goodbye. And one person's walking that way. My parents are like slow to begin with. Oh, can I help you with your chair? I'm not lying. So my car was parked about, I'll call it a half a mile away. I think that's pretty accurate. I took 5 trips back and forth to the car during the day. And we were there from 10 o'clock, 10:30, whatever, maybe till 3 o'clock. 5 trips back and forth. Then we got to pack them up. Then we got to find my parents. Then we got to say bye to my brother, my sister, this, that. Awful experience. Now, the beach was cool, but he's crying. There's nowhere. And then you got to eat, right? So we didn't bring any food. You got to go up and eat. You got to go up and can someone hold the baby? The baby's crying. I'm done with the beach, like I said, maybe for another 10 years, at least with him. If I'm going with my wife, I think I still have a good time. If I'm going with him, I may just tell my kid we live in the Midwest. Like, I just might tell him, yeah, you know, we're landlocked. We're landlocked. We can't, you know, the beach is really far away.
Dad, I went to school and some kids talked about a thing called the shore. I am unsure about those words, my friend.
Those damn liberals shoving their liberal agenda all over you. We don't live anywhere near the beach, son.
No, if you want to go to the beach, fine. All right, let's get in the car. Let's go west, and we'll keep going west until we hit the beach. You let me know when you're done going to the beach, son. Okay.
And then it's like, okay, so my brother's always late. I'm pretty much always on time. It's been a little bit of a challenge with the kid. So then it's my brother's late. Then my mom's like, did you hear from Tim? Can you give Tim a call? Okay, give Tim a call. Tim, yeah, I'm stuck in traffic. There's an accident. Oh, did you talk to Tim? Yeah, he's stuck in an accident. Oh, yeah, he told me that. But is there a new accident? I don't know.
He's just mom, not... it was a fresh accident, okay? The death on the streets occurred 10 minutes ago. Don't worry. It's beautifully fresh. That's why he's late. Can he share his location? No, he can't, mom. I couldn't either.
Yeah. I think there's maybe a point in everyone's life where they realize their parents are getting a little old. And you're like, oh, my God. Like... I almost wish we just went down to the beach and just walked the beach and waited till we saw our parents. And if we didn't, be like, we were down there. Happy Father's Day. You know, like. So my work where I work, which is not this podcast.
You work at your work? Is that what happens? Is that what you do? You don't play at your work?
Barely. I mean, barely. So I go to work and they have like a summer barbecue kind of thing. And I'm like, you know what? This would be a great opportunity to bring the kid. No one's been able to meet him because of COVID. I can't bring him into the office or anything like that, you know? So I'll bring the kid. I pick up the kid. I bring his octagon thing again. I bring his high chair. From the minute I grab him, coughing. And then every woman I work with, when I bring him in, floods to him like, oh, my God, oh, baby. And he starts, like, I guess he gets scared, overwhelmed. I'm holding him. I'm trying to, like, have a drink, maybe eat some food. And I'm thinking maybe in my head it went like this. Like, okay, I'm going to bring him to the party. I'm going to go for 2 hours. All the women are going to be holding him for a while. I'll have to check in on him. Not the case, Mike. Every 2 seconds. Christy will pick him up. Christy picks him up. He's happy, happy, happy. Ah! So I go over, pick him up. Okay. Oh, then Samantha's going to pick him up. Samantha picks him up. Hold. Ah! And then I try to talk to the guys I work with. Blah, blah, blah. Ah, he's crying. Like, awful experience. I will never do that. I understand why now, like, when you have friends that have kids, I'm thinking I'm starting to see it. You kind of like don't see them for like 3 years. Like they kind of disappear for a while. And you're kind of like, man, I haven't seen Scott in so long. Like, are we even friends anymore? Yes, we are friends. And deep down, I would love to go out with you and drink at a bar and hang out till the till the sun comes up. But it's like, holy crap, this kid needs a lot of attention, and it just sucks the life out of it. Now, I know why people – I have friends who have like 2-3 kids, and I know now – and I was that guy. I haven't seen Adam in a long time. I guess he doesn't like me anymore. I guess we're not friends. No. No. I support you 100% because it's impossible. Almost impossible to have a normal time out.
Well, I figure if you taught your son that you were passing the buck, that he would have understood and not cried when he was in all those women's hands. You just got to go, little Shay, I got friends here.
Right.
I love you, but I know you're what, 6 months? What is it?
8 months now.
Eight months.
Yep.
Yeah. I've had you for 8 months now. Daddy needs an hour. Daddy needs to talk about basketball. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I need to talk about how the Sixers blew it, how the Nets blew it. I need to talk about these kind of things with guys. I don't need to talk about your stupid feeding schedule and your dumb diaper. Oh, yeah. I pissed myself.
Listen, just because I got a handful of sand in your formula doesn't mean you don't eat it so you can go to sleep, okay?
I literally need to say to a bunch of guys, hey, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going? With literally where I know where he's going, which is the Green Bay Packers, but I need to just hear it. From a bunch of guys, like, I need that debate, and I need to be like, no, I think it's going here. I need that stupidity of men around me for 10 minutes. I need it for 10 minutes.
Well, you get that stupidity of men every hour and a half we do this. I don't understand why you need an extra 10.
I know, but I need that dumb sports debate. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you think Jacob deGrom's doing pretty good this year? Yeah, he's doing it right. His ERA is low. He might get injured. Like, I need that dumb sports talk from people.
Yeah, I'd be the one be like, listen, they checked him for substances. I know he's hiding something.
Yeah.
I know he's got, like, the file in the back of his pocket.
Yeah.
I know he sneaks, like, rubber cement somewhere on his skin. It's just a matter of finding it and all. I just need to pat him down every game to prove he's a cheater.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though? Like, you need that, like, you need that conversation that doesn't have any levels to it. It doesn't have a deeper meaning. It doesn't have, like, a lasting effect. You need to be like, hey, what do you think? Can you believe the Suns are still in the playoffs? And some dude goes, oh, my God, me neither. And basically that's the level it hits, and it doesn't go any deeper or any further, and it ends with someone just going, ha-ha, you're like a blah-blah-blah fan.
Yeah, and if anybody starts coming up and starts, well, analytically, if you look back at this and you go, shut up,
you're like,
I have a kid, I know there's reasons, but I don't need the reasons, okay?
Yeah.
I just need the stupid stuff. Hey, do you think Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer? No. What do you mean? That's what I need. That's what I need in my life. The dumbest conversation that will go nowhere, and everybody's pissed off, and nobody will agree. But at the end of the day, when we see each other in another week, we'll have the same damn sports conversation.
Exactly. I need dumb questions. I need, like, hey, do you think Tom Brady's the GOAT? Yeah, I don't. Like, I need that dumb conversation. Like, I miss Idiocracy. I miss dumb sports conversations. I miss, hey, this IPA, oh, man, this brewery hasn't put out anything good in a long time. Around a coffee table, around a picnic table, and, like, a hot dog in my mouth, that's all I want.
Yeah.
That's all I want. That's a drop right there. Someone's going to edit that out. I need a hot dog in my mouth, and that's all I want. But I need the dumbness of men right now. I think that's why men and women back in the day were hunter-gatherers and like cooks, and like they just needed that separation for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And look, there was probably some head honcho hunter, like, oh, Mike. Yeah, he'll kill the deer. Like, we know he's going to kill the deer. But he needs, like, six dudes around him just to be like, Oh my God, I don't want to talk about berries and like how our son's growing, and I don't want to hurry about like next year's herd and how we're going to have a hut and like the rocks are out of place. Yeah. We need Mike to shoot the deer and the rest of us to be like, "Get him, Mike. Get him." You know, and that's it. I need low-level conversation at this point.
Yeah, and if he shoots the deer too fast, they'll be like, "That wasn't a clean kill. We can't get that deer."
Yeah.
No. You went a little above the heart. We got to wait here for another 3 hours until another deer shows up and shoot that.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I need that dumb company at this point where, like, I could just hand the baby to someone and then take care of him, and I can go sit there and be like, "Yeah, Kobe Bryant, you think he was number 3 or 6 on the list?" And then it just causes this dumb conversation. Like, yeah. And then someone chimes in, "Yo, he's number 5. No, he's 3. Dumb conversation.
Yeah. And whoever you hand off the kid to, they can't get interested in the conversation.
Not at all.
There's nothing worse when they come over and then it's like, "Oh, I bet you want this back." It's like, "No, we just explained this.
I
need stupid yet useless.
I just want to debate if LeBron James is a good basketball player. That's all." I want to debate if Aaron Rodgers is good. That's literally what I want to debate. Sorry, guys.
You feel better?
I think I feel a little better.
I got a text from your mom. She's asking if I can see your location.
Mom, I'm not at your house yet. Anyway, so let's shift gears here. Mike, it's a time that everyone loves and we love. It's called guest time. We have a really cool guest. Here's a guy.
Is it a pilgrim?
It's Pilgrim Pete. He was on the original. He was on the Mayflower. It's unbelievable. He's still going. He wanted to talk to his family. Mike Pilgrim Pete, everybody. Pilgrim Pete, you there?
I thought you were literally going to cut it off right there and just start the interview.
Pilgrim Pete?
Huh?
Pilgrim Pete, are you there?
Yo, Pee-Pee, come on now. Where my boy at?
Ah, crap. It turns out Pilgrim Pete's been dead for 100 years.
again?
Anyway, we have a really cool guest on the show tonight. So I remember getting these guys' album. They were kind of like a harder punk rock band that had a violin. I was like, "Oh, my God. Okay." Like, I kind of dug it. And then they went to like the pop punk era and massively successful. But Ryan Key, the lead singer of Yellow Card, for some people, that like Ocean Avenue and that CD or album, whatever you want to call it, was like the turning, like that was their album back in the day. And these guys literally made it to the top of music. And now Ryan's back with a new project called Jetta, making a lot of instrumental music and just a really cool guy to talk to. So here is our interview with Ryan Key. Ryan, thank you for giving us a few minutes here on the show. I really appreciate your time, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to ask you about music. I'm going to ask you about your new project. I'm going to ask you about your past. But I did want to start off. I know you were like a huge Star Wars fan. And you had a big Star Wars sleeve. So I was curious, like, is your fandom solely to the old movies? Or are you
He walked away.
I'm here.
He was like, "I don't want to answer that question. This interview's over."
No, I left the door to the studio open and my roommate just came home. So,
oh, no problem. So, like, are you a fan of the newer movies? Or are you just a straight-up traditionalist as far as the original trilogy?
I want more Star Wars all the time in any way possible.
Excellent. So
I'm not in the hater club, and I don't expect it all to be perfect and make all of my childhood dreams come true, because I'm 40. And when I saw them when I was a kid, I was 5, and people watch it now at 40 and they think it's supposed to make them as excited as it did when they were 5.
That's the such a refreshing take to hear. 'Cause I said all the time, I'm like, what do you expect from these movies as far as, like, especially being able to even get anything from the original characters, like to even get some movies from, like, what do you guys expect from them? Harrison Ford is still, like, you know, be the lead in three straight trilogies and more. I think people are very spoiled in the Star Wars universe.
Well, people also have a megaphone called the internet that they didn't have in the 80s and 90s, and that makes us think it's worse than it actually is. People love Star Wars. I have a podcast that I do once a week, and it's all about positive vibes and no toxic fandom, and it's where you're reminded that people actually love Star Wars, and just negativity is the loudest thing in the room these days, but it doesn't mean it's the majority.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
But you can't deny that 12th scene in episode 2 was uncalled for, and it destroyed everything that's holy in the Star Wars universe, right?
Yes, ruined it. Rey ruined everything I ever thought Star Wars could be. You know?
you got to love when people say ruin their childhood, as if that moment just wiped everything clean. Go ahead, Mike.
So, just out of, like, curiosity, I mean, what is your, like, go-to if it's, like, you're sitting on the couch? Is there anything specific? Are you more into the TV shows now? Are you popping in the old VHS to the originals? What is, like, the, I need, like, 2 hours to mellow out, this is what I'm going with?
I don't have a VHS player, but I do have the original VHS cassettes, like, on display on my little Star Wars shrine in the house.
Nice.
But, I don't know, man. I really kind of, if I'm going to watch Star Wars, I bounce around. I don't really have a set thing. I actually love both of the story films. I love Rogue One and Solo both. So, and since those are sort of like newer and haven't been viewed 1,000 times, I tend to maybe watch those, I guess. But I've been meaning to go back and do a sequel trilogy rewatch. It's been a while. Just sit down and watch all three of the sequel films. I think that are they perfect? No. Are they awesome? Yes. I just don't understand why people have to be so angry about everything in the world all the time.
I think we can all pretty much agree on that, that statement there. So you do have a brand new music project that I have noticed you've been starting to put out a little bit, on social media and, Instagram and whatnot. Now, forgive me, is it pronounced Jedha or Jeddah?
No, it's Jeddah, like the moon in Star Wars.
Gotcha. Okay.
Where it comes from.
So this is, from listening to it, this is a big shift to kind of what we know you for and whatnot. A lot of instrumentals and kind of digital parts to it and whatnot. Tell us about the new project and kind of where that came from and what fans could expect from that.
I've been working on it for close to 4 years now, actually. Just haven't had a reason or a space for it or the time and resources to finish like a full length record or focus a lot of energy on it. Cause it just hasn't been something that I work with Ryan Mendez, who is the lead guitar player for Yellow Card from 2005 till the end. So that's 10, 15, 12 years. Right?
Yeah.
12.
Yep.
I'm doing my math right. 12 years.
Yep.
So we've been working on this thing together ever since Yellow Card split up in 17. But it doesn't really help us pay the bills per se. So we have to squeeze it in when we can, and we haven't had a lot of time to work on it. So, recently some things have changed and opportunities have, as the dude would say, new shit has come to light. And we're able to work on it some more now. So we thought we'll go ahead and throw some tracks up and see what happens. So, Ryan's been a big electronic music fan for most of his life, or most of his music listening life. I was not for most of mine. And he sort of brought me into the light and started playing me some artists, I don't know, a decade or so ago. And it just like changed my whole outlook on music and composition and everything. I mean, I found that I really, really loved it. It almost eradicated my palette for rock and roll. It's really weird, but I just don't really listen to rock music anymore. If the rock music I do listen to, I take that back because I do listen to a lot of post rock. So if I'm listening to rock music, it's instrumental. It's like Mogwai or Explosions in the Sky or a Hammock or something like that. And so other than that though, I mostly listen to like producers, DJs, whatever you want to call them, that do kind of off the beaten path sort of more like ambient atmospheric electronica. Like that's the stuff I love. That and soundtracks are kind of my jam. So I owe it to Ryan really for showing me some records back in the day that really changed my life. And then when Yellow Card split up, we both kind of had this thought of like, let's try and see if we can make that, you know, who knows? And we might suck, but let's get in the studio and try to make something and see what we come up with. So we did, and that was back in like 2018. We recorded our first track, and we've come a long way from then as far as our just our skill and ability and understanding of the genre and like how we write and what the project is for us. So I think it's kind of twofold for us. We want to release music in an album, you know, format, like for people to listen to and have on playlists and everything else. But we're also really focused on scoring and composing with the project for film and TV.
Yeah, I mean,
even the little instrumental.
Yeah, even the little videos you put out, you could definitely feel that. Like the videos are sick. Like I don't know who did the graphics and whatnot on them. The little Instagram videos you guys put up with the music accompanied by it are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was just like another kind of like, hey, dude, a buddy of mine shot all that footage in his living room.
Really?
And another buddy of mine edited it for us. And, you know, we've had it for 3 years and never put it out. So, so we'll see. I really have no idea where it's going to go. It's going well. We scored a movie last summer, that's finally looking like it's going to start hitting some festivals. And we also, we have no idea when we're going to start, but we've been hired to score the first season of a show for Disney. So we're moving along.
Huh.
And we're going to put out an EP with our first three tracks that we did over the last 3 years, because we're working on new music now. And it's kind of in a different place as far as we've just evolved and we've learned more, like I said. So we have these three kind of older ones that are done. We're going to get a couple guys to do some cool remixes and drop our first EP later this summer sometime. So it'll be 4 or 5 songs with the remixes included. And then keep working for the rest of the year on our full length and hopefully have a full length album out next year.
It's amazing. So when you come off the back of just an amazingly successful band such as Yellow Card for, you know, like you said, 12, 15 years and whatnot, is stepping into a new project like that just like completely refreshing as far as like not being held to a genre or like even your old fans? Is it refreshing or is it kind of being like, is it get you nervous at the same time as far as doing something completely new like that?
It's extremely refreshing, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yellow Card served, you know, a purpose in my life. It was, gave me a lot of gifts, provided me with the ability to have a career now, still today.
Right.
But I haven't been invested in outside of Yellow Card. I haven't really been invested in that style of music for many, many years. And
right.
So it's not that it was a challenge to write for Yellow Card. I loved making those records. The last two records are my favorite Yellow Card records, but you can tell on both of those records that I was like, desperately trying to sort of break from the mold that it had been for me, you know?
Right.
And so it's like, it's not, I don't think about it at all as far as like comparing the two things. I just know that if you told me I had to go back to making guitars and drums and, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus songs, I just don't think that would inspire me the way that what I'm doing now does. And if you're going to be a creative person, you have to stay inspired, you know? So with what I'm doing now, it's just that every day I get in the studio, I'm just so psyched. And it's like, I don't even know where it's going. I don't know if it's going to do anything. I don't know, you know, like, I don't know if we're going to, you know, make any money doing this thing. I don't know if anybody's going to care or like it or whatever, but making it is so, there's a lot of passion there. There's a lot of inspiration. Like I'm very, drawn to get into the studio and make stuff. And that's huge. So
that's awesome.
When you do that deep dive and change basically your whole genre, do you have to go out to like when you're dealing like record producers and stuff like that, or even like to the fans, do you feel the need to kind of explain, okay, we're members of Yellow Card, but this is going to be nothing like it? Or is it just pretty much, this is me. If you get confused, deal with it.
We originally weren't ever even going to attach this to me or Yellow Card in any way. That was kind of the original strategy. But we didn't know that I was going to fall into this wild new opportunity being a partner at Twitch and streaming full time,
right?
Which I started 3 weeks ago. And so when I say we, I mean Ryan, myself, and our manager, Andy, we had a long talk about like, do we care? Does it matter? Like we had some friends, folks at labels and management in the electronic world that I know, people I just kind of was bouncing ideas off of, that definitely suggested like he'd probably be better off if it wasn't connected to Yellow Card. But the fact that we've already booked a couple of scoring gigs means it's kind of the ball's a little bit rolling already. And you know what I mean? So like I guess for lack of a less cliched term, like a strike while the iron's hot kind of attitude. Like right. If we're getting work, I want to have the content out. I want to have the music out. I want people that are hiring us to be able to hear what we're doing, play it for other people saying, hey, you know, we hired these guys to do this gig and they're killing it. And this is their music. They have all these songs you can listen to. And so we kind of decided to just step on the gas and start putting stuff out. So, you know, I'm not walking around going, hey, we Yellow Card have new projects.
Kind of, right, you know right, I mean? Right, right.
If you know and you're watching my Twitch stream and you follow me on social media and wherever else, however you follow me and Ryan, then you know now what we're doing. And I think that's cool. It's still very DIY. We're not signed. We're not doing a lot of press. There's nothing to really connect it to Yellow Card in that way. But again, I just don't know what it is yet. We've gotten a couple of really cool jobs, but the second one we haven't started yet. And I don't know when we're going to start because it's a massive corporation that takes months and months and months to even just put an offer letter together. So we don't even know.
Yeah.
We know it's got a green light and we know we're on board, but we just don't know when we're going to start doing it. So in the meantime, Ryan and I are making our record basically live on Twitch. We're streaming the making of the album sort of. So every Monday he comes on my stream and we get 4 or 5 hours of work done on the record.
Yeah, I was gonna. You actually segue to a question I want to ask you about the Twitch and whatnot. Like, how did you come across like as far as that being a platform rather than, you know, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, as far as reaching your fans? And now you become very involved with Twitch. What do you like? How do you find that? Why is that working for you? And like, what has been the feedback as far as doing your album on Twitch? Because it's a very interesting concept as far as like kind of, it's like being in the room when music's being created, you know, especially electronic music. Like there's a lot of programming and a lot of figuring out and segueing. Do you take feedback from the fans and whatnot as you're listening? Or is it more like we're just going to watch Ryan work?
Right. So I started gaming on Twitch. I started a channel just to play Warzone with my friends basically, and I knew no one was really going to give a shit about that, but that there would be a few people who would probably enjoy hanging out with us while we played. So I started that right at the same time that my manager Andy was randomly speaking with Twitch about some other artists he has. They said, hey, we noticed that Ryan just showed up on the platform. You manage him. Would you guys be interested in working with us on the music side? And that evolved into a real conversation and a contract and all this crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's actually the really life-changing thing for me, which is amazing. And I'm super grateful to them for reaching out and considering me for a partnership deal and all this stuff. But yeah, it's such an alien landscape right now for everybody as far as what the music on Twitch is. I would say the majority of music streamers are like people who are sort of playthrough, you know what I mean? They have like a song list you can request. Like my channel raided a harp player the other day, and she's like doing cover songs, playing harp and ripping. Like her voice was insane. She's doing an Adele song when we dropped in. So most people are doing stuff like that. Where chat is very involved, you know, at requesting songs. And then music production is still pretty new. And from what I found, most people on the platform doing production are doing more of what you're talking about, where it's like the chat is almost like writing the song with them, kind of. Like, even I saw someone, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, down to like the lyrics, you know, send me lyrics in the chat and I'll put them in the song. Huh. So that's been more of what's been happening on the platform because it's such an interactive platform, right? So when I talked to them, I said, you know, that's probably not my jam because I have a lot of work to do. Like I have projects that are happening, you know, full time that I need to finish and work on. And if you guys think that there would be interest in me working live on Twitch, then I think this could be really cool. And they loved the idea. So, So I'm still really interacting with the chat a lot as far as I know. I mean, 80% of the fans in the chat, I know them from Yellow Card and from touring, and, you know, I recognize their names and who they are, and I've met them a million times at shows. So that's really, really cool to be able to hang out with them every day. But I am involved as far as like, just, I take breaks to chat and hang and answer questions. I'm learning everything about Twitch, you know, like, so we're doing these like subscription goals. We just hit one and the reward for the goal is to do like an Ocean Avenue track by track stream. So I'm just going to sit and chill, listen to the record and talk about the songs, the production, the songwriting, let the chat talk about their memories from it and stuff. And we'll all just kind of share and hang. And so we're going to do that probably for like all the records for the next few months. We'll do these sub goals. They're called, you know, so it's a multifaceted thing, but primarily I am literally creating my music that I'm going to like put out on records or wherever live on Twitch. And it is a working stream, as we call it. So that's going to change if I'm, again, like working on something for, say, like the a Disney project or something. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to stream that. But but hopefully by that time, I've got it to a point where I can hop on for a couple hours here and there, you know, every day around working on stuff like that and have people hop in and check stuff out. And you can do anything, man. I mean, you can pick up an acoustic guitar and play a song. You can do an album listen through. You can write a song with the chat. You can, there's really no rules to it, but I'm just trying to kind of build my channel in a way that makes people excited to learn about music production and watch how we make music and stuff. So
I think it's just such an awesome concept to like, you know, like I remember seeing you guys at Burchill Nightclub, like way before in New Jersey, way before like Ocean Avenue day, like you had that heavier sound. I remember seeing you guys, but it's amazing to me, like if you're a fan of a band, to now kind of be able to sit in the living room with this guy creating music and interacting. It's just amazing that we've come to a point where, oh my God, did you get the new Yellow Card album at the CD store? Now you can sit here with Ryan Key and almost help him develop a song or tell him what you think on the spot. I think it's just an amazing concept.
It is. It's wild. And I never thought it would be something. I'm not a big social media fan in general.
Right.
So I never thought I would be this involved with a platform like this, but I'm really enjoying it. And I think the coolest thing for me is that, you know, I've stepped out and said, I'm not making rock music anymore. It's just not what I do. It's not where my heart's at. I'm doing this other stuff. You know, there's definitely that fear of, is anyone going to be into this at all? Because it's like, you know, and people are so into it.
I think people respect, I think your true fans will respect you more for not doing the same thing over and over again and stepping into something new. Like all my favorite artists are completely different than when I started listening to them. And I think that's what makes them great.
I agree with that. I just think that electronic music can be a real polarizing thing if you're into it or not. And that goes both ways. People who are, you know, grew up fully immersed in EDM and whatever, like they just don't do rock and roll. Right. And that it can go both ways. So you have that fear of like, no one's going to be like, you suck for doing that. Well, someone probably will, because that's what people do now on the internet. But
sorry,
you
know that was me. Sorry.
Fans are not going to be like, you suck for not doing that anymore. But they may just be like, at the end of the day, this isn't my cup of tea, you know. But I have found that I think people are something I was hoping would happen is that I might open people's ears to this style of music and, you know, share other artists that I love. So we do a lot of that too on the channel. We just kind of hang and listen to songs by other artists and talk about that and how that's inspired me or influenced me. And, you know, made a huge like 400 something song playlist that I shared on my Discord for people to listen to and kind of get an idea of how I got from, you know, NoFX at 16 to Coldplay at 30 to EDM at 40. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I also think you're gonna take the fans that really love you and like what you're doing, but you're also gonna gain a whole bunch of new fans. You know, like you might lose some old fans, but you're gonna at least be moving forward and feel creatively happy. You know, you're gonna feel like you're doing what you want and still have people who follow and love you and want to see what you're going to do next.
Yeah. And I get a lot of people in the chat every day that are new people. It's manageable enough where, you know, I can read it for the most part and see what's happening. It's not like I don't have thousands and thousands of people where I can't like a big gamer on Twitch or whatever, where you can't even read the chat.
It's not like a Dogecoin chat room, you know?
Exactly. I've seen people in the chat saying, I don't know who you are or what Yellow Card is, what everybody's talking about in here, but this is super cool and thanks for the stream, you know? So that's happening for sure. And I have the Twitch is obviously super supportive. They want the channel to succeed. So they're occasionally giving me some like front page you know, some FaceTime on the front page where you're in sort of the carousel of streams that are on the front. And it's wild, dude, when that happens. It's absolutely wild. We'll be sitting here with 75, 80 people like I have mostly during the day. And all of a sudden there's 4,000 people in the chat. Like it just, when you go front page. So I'm hoping I get more exposure that way to help grow the channel because it really works, man. I mean, people get in, they see what I'm doing, and I definitely retain like followers and subscriptions and stuff through that front page exposure. So I'm learning how it all works still, but I'm having a really good time with it. And most interestingly, it's just sort of like the first, I don't want to call it a 9-to-5 because I don't have to do it for 8 hours a day, but it's Monday through Friday, like contractual structured agreement. It's a job. You know, and I haven't really had anything like that since I was like 20, you know, to where I had to show up and put in the hours every week. So, It's fun, man. It's keeping me focused and I'm creating a lot of music. I find that the thing I'm most excited about is I'm getting to the end of every week going like, holy shit, man. I made a lot of music this week. And I'm a very project-based musician and producer. So if I don't have an album I'm working on, I'm usually not in the studio. You know, I don't just get in here and like spitball and mess around with stuff. I like to be I get really creative when there's like a goal or a record that needs to be made. So this is sort of fused those two ideas. We're like, I don't really know what all this stuff is for exactly, but I have to be making stuff for the Twitch agreement, you know, to put in the hours. So it's making me work and it's making me create. And that's the best I could ask for because it's just so productive, man. I'm like on fire right now, just making so much music.
It's awesome.
I mean, just like you're a musician, you're a podcaster, you're a Twitcher. I see you have like this cardio sport workout. Is there sleep ever involved in your life, out of curiosity?
Yeah, it's fine, man. I've worked out a, you know, a system for myself over doing this for 20 years where I can get a lot of work done and also have a lot of time for myself and to relax. I mean, it's a nice thing about being your own boss, you know? And I'm really, really grateful to Yellow Card and the fans and everyone that has supported me and allowed me to get to this point because, I get a lot of time where I get to do stuff and travel and do it because I have all these cool opportunities that keep me going. But I am hustling, man. That's for sure, dude. The last 3 years, particularly, I think 2017, the last show we played was March 25th, I believe, 2017. Wow. And I would say for about a year, it was pretty tough for me mentally, as far as just like, I just couldn't be bothered. I was just not sure what anything meant or where anything was going. And when I got in the studio and flipped the switch to start making my own music again, and I made my first little EP that I put out in 18, that was sort of the beginning of it. And since then, I've been a bit of a chameleon. I've been adapting and changing and grabbing this opportunity and that opportunity to stay afloat, you know, and I think that may have even been a little frustrating for fans because they can't keep up with like what, but we're all just trying to stay afloat in this, you know, especially with COVID now last year. I mean, musicians and touring, you know, especially touring musicians, crew members, like it was such a tough year for everybody. And I really feel like I came out the other side better as a human being, as a professional, as a creative person than I was before it. I really made a conscious effort not to let last year like drag me down into this negative place. And so I just kept trucking, kept working, kept creating, kept making music. Ryan and I got this big gig. We scored this movie last year. All of it kind of led to this Twitch thing. I mean, it's all just sort of snowballed into finally I feel steady. I feel like I'm doing, I know you mentioned like all these different things, but right now I do sort of feel like I'm just doing the one thing finally. And it feels really good. You know, like I have just this one thing, this job I'm trying to do. And I'm not like, I always compare myself on the stream all the time to the dog in Up, where I'm like squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. I'm not doing that right now for a change, and it feels really, really good to just be focused on a project and working hard at it and seeing the results. It's awesome.
You guys heard it here first. Ryan is scoring Up 2. That was a little hint to the fan.
Well, God, that would be amazing.
I was about to say, I was hoping if you were going to go to one project, I thought it would be being a banana bandit in Top Wing, according to your IMDb. I was hoping that would have been your big breakout career moment.
I have no idea what that is. It's on my IMDb. Hold on.
Yeah.
Well,
what?
Yeah. It lists you as an extra in Cloverfield.
Yes.
And it says you were in Top Wing as a banana bandit.
Top Wing as a banana bandit.
Yes. It lists you. Well, it's apparently a Canadian animated series. I think you're like the fourth person when we ask about your IMDb. It's always like, what?
I mean, if you're not owning Banana Bandit, you should start after today. I mean, that's not a bad title. It's not. Yeah. It's not a bad title.
I mean, is somebody? I mean, am I supposed to be getting paid from Banana Bandit? That's what we need to find out. I did almost get in Cloverfield. That was wild. That was one of the craziest professional thing, like professional life things that happened to me was auditioning for that movie. It was crazy.
Did you were you audition as like an actor or just like a
yeah. Yeah, and I got I was up against I made it to the end. I made it to like final call. I read for J.J. Abrams and Brian Burke and the writer, everyone at Bad Robot and everything on the last day. And I was up against what's his name from Silicon Valley, the dude with the curly hair, TJ, right? TJ.
Oh, TJ Miller? No.
Is that it?
No. TJ Miller is the comedian.
TJ. Yeah, TJ Miller.
Yeah.
He is the camera guy in the movie in Cloverfield. That's the part I was reading for. And so I was like sitting in the Bad Robot lobby across from him, and it was just the two of us.
No shit.
I think we had sort of an interaction of like, that's it? It's just us, you know?
Yeah.
So it was fun, man. Almost made it.
Now, do you have like a background in acting at all, or is this like something you were just trying?
Until I dropped out of college for my second time in 2000. I was studying theater my whole life.
No shit.
I went to university. I should have finished college with a BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in theater. So that's what I was doing.
Wow.
But I didn't get to go to the school that I wanted to. So I was kind of a brat about it, and I didn't really apply myself and started playing in a band instead, and it worked out. So
no, that's it. Interesting. Like you touched, I had a COVID question for you, but you literally touched. We've asked so many artists how they you know, how they dealt with COVID, and you answered it right there. Like you thrived in COVID. But is that like when you look at acting, is that something like now that Yellow Card is kind of behind you and you're starting new, is that something that you would see yourself trying to kind of get back into and rekindle the flame a little bit? Or
I don't know if you see this, but I'm not getting cast in anything, bro.
Yeah.
Too late.
All right.
They don't make enough airbrush makeup to cover that up, I don't think.
You have to wear like a green screen arm.
Yeah.
So first off, Ryan, I want to thank you for your time, man. It's really fun talking to you. I love talking to artists who literally we did not ask you one Yellow Card question today. We did, I love hearing the evolution of artists, and I think that's what we've learned a lot on this show is like, you know, I could sit here and ask you 27 Ocean Avenue questions and all that, but to me, it's more interesting hearing what you're up to, what you're creating, and what you're doing. I guess the last question I had, which it kind of triggered me to think of when you said you were scoring something for Disney. No, I'm not asking you what you're doing, but I think of what was the movie that just came? Soul. As far as like Trent Reznor and Jon Baptiste, scoring that, like, do you look at that and are you inspired? Because like I barely play music anymore. I do comedy and do this podcast, and like it was really inspiring to think of Trent Reznor. You know, like the Trent Reznor we know, and I know he scored a couple things, but to hear that and the combination of the music in that movie is just unbelievable. Did you see something like that, and are you completely inspired by their work?
Trent and Atticus are very much like the godfathers to us. I mean, we look up to them and are inspired by them on the scoring front of our little Jetta project. That's their massive, massive influence on us. We scored the film last summer and we basically walked in, met the director and the writer producer. We were like, we had read the script and we kind of said, we were like, we feel like this kind of has a Social Network vibe. It's like what we should go for. And they were just like, you're hired. So
really? Wow.
So I've been listening to Atticus Ross has some incredible scores just of his own, you know, that without Trent, but together they're incredible. And I've been listening to those records for years and years now. So I have like several of their scores on vinyl. Like, I'm obsessed with them. So they're total fanboy.
Yeah.
So yes, when I heard that they were going to be scoring a Pixar film, I was like, this is going to be wild, dude. The last piano piece at the end is just,
it's all time.
I forget what it's called. I forget the name of the track, but it's at the end of the record. It's unbelievable.
I literally don't know the names to any tracks of like all the musicians I love. So don't worry about it. Like I like a lot of your songs from back in the day. I couldn't tell you the name of like basically any of them. It's the one that goes like this, you know.
You're still living in the like Visor CD number four.
Big fan of number four, by the way. Great song. Ryan, thank you so much for your time, man. It's really cool to hear your passion come through as you're talking. It's you could feel it through you talking about what you're doing. If people want to check out what you're doing or the new project or where to see what you're doing and the Twitch thing, where should they go?
So my social media everywhere: Instagram, Twitter, now Twitch, my YouTube, all that stuff is just my full name at William Ryan Key.
Right.
Which is funny because people ask me now all the time about the William thing and it being my name. It's like, well, it's my name, but it's my grandfather's name. It's always, it's my first name. My parents just chose to call me by my middle name when I was a kid, so that is what it is. But for me, it was just sort of like a way to differentiate from Yellow Card when I stepped out sort of to do my own thing. And it was like, again, like my first social media thing I ever had was Twitter in like 2007 or 8 or something. But that's what I called it. So it's always been my online presence has sort of been my full name. But anyways, it's at William Ryan Key. You can follow me. Most importantly, I think I'm most active on Instagram, and obviously really would love for everybody to come check out the streams on Twitch. I'm live Monday through Friday. If you follow the channel, so you can go at any time to twitch.tv/William Ryan Key and just follow. And if you have your notifications on, it will just shoot you an alert, when I'm going live. I also have a Discord server, which is also William Ryan Key, which is killer. We're up to about 600 members and such a fun hang. People are having such a good time and making friends and hanging and talk about music and everything else in there. So you can join the Discord server and get really kind of like up-to-date alerts. Like if I change the schedule and I'm going a half hour late, you'll get a message on Discord that says, hey, we're streaming a half hour late today. So that's cool. And then for Ryan and I's little project, it's called Jetta, and we don't have a lot going on right now for it. We just have this one video up on Instagram where you can, if you watch it as like an Instagram TV video, you can watch the whole song. It's 6 minutes long, as most of our music
cool,
is.
It's cool, man.
Now.
The video reminds me of like the old Tool videos. I love it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it's got a cool like 90s yep. EDM thing to it, and yep. I love that so much. But our Instagram is at Jetta Music, so it's JEDHA Music, one word. So you can follow Jetta Music, and we're going to drop an EP later this summer, and we're going to let this one just roll out and just see what happens. We don't know. It's like, I feel like any of this kind of music, it finds its way onto a Spotify playlist or something like that. And then all of a sudden people are talking about it, and then you have yourself a nice little project. And this isn't a typical, like you get signed and you have a single and
right.
We're just going to keep making music. We think people are really excited about the music, and we think it speaks for itself. So we're going to keep making music, keep putting it out as these types of artists do. They're always releasing new music, new tracks, remixes, everything else. So we're going to keep doing that and just see if it catches on, if anybody likes it. So, and we really like it and we love making it. So,
I would say
follow me on Twitch and check out Jetta. Those are the things that are most important, near and dear to my heart right now.
I love it, man. Ryan has also agreed if he takes a sick day from Twitch, he's just going to play our podcast over and over again. So that's great for us.
Speaking of podcasts, also, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. If you're a Star Wars fan, I host a podcast with Adam Russell from Story of the Year and Nick Gambarian from Bayside that we've been on for over a year. We're on like our 70th or 72nd episode or something. We have almost 200,000 plays on the pod. It's absolutely wild. We've had Ashley Eckstein, who plays Ahsoka Tano on The Clone Wars. We've had James Arnold Taylor, who plays Obi-Wan Kenobi on The Clone Wars. We've had some Marvel comic editors that do Star Wars. We've had Emily Swallow, who is the armorer in The Mandalorian. Our guests have just been crazy.
That's awesome.
And we're hoping it gets crazier, but we're still going strong. Every Thursday, we drop a new episode, and the podcast is called Thank the Maker. So you can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you're into Star Wars, or you just want to hear three band dudes nerd out on stuff they love.
That's awesome. By the way, is that a Video Music Award to your right?
That is, that's the one. Yes, nice. That's the little dude.
Yeah, that's awesome. We just have like beer cans to the right. That's basically
I
all.
I have a lightsaber. I made.
So. I'm doing. Oh, is that from Galaxy's Edge?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, I love mine. I cried. I cried. I literally cried making it.
It's a great ceremony. No doubt.
What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah, I'm doing Dry July, so no beer cans in here for me right now. But
all right, that's all right.
Taking a little breath, a little detox breath right now.
I get that. I mean, if you're locked in the studio every day, I would probably be drinking heavily too. But Ryan, like
it's easy. Yeah. It's easy to just start pouring it around 5 or 6 o'clock while you're working. I love
the artistry. I love the vulnerability about starting something new because you made it to the top of the music world, and not many people can say that. So I love watching someone strip it down and start over again. So, Ryan, I want to thank you for your time and giving us a really good chat, man. So thank you so much for your time, man.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Ryan Key, Michael. Ryan Key. I'm still waiting for our peak and our big audience, and then we can just retire on Twitch and do amazing music.
Maybe we should start with a Twitch account.
Yeah, I told you.
You think that would help?
I think we should go to Twitch. I think we need to Twitch it up, if you will.
Like, or can we just do this, or do we have to, like, play like PlayStation games while we're doing this?
I don't know.
How does this work?
I was on a game show the other day. Shout out to Buddy Fitzpatrick called And the Word Is, and it was like an improv game show on Twitch, and they had like a lot of fans interacting. I feel like we're just really behind. We're like, okay guys, you can follow us on like Facebook, and everyone's like, yeah, okay. You know, I think we are like, we're kind of like, Mike, we've been doing this for what, 7 years, 6 years? We are kind of like the grandfathers of podcasts. I see all these little podcasts running around, getting cute and growing up. And then I see a lot of podcasts putter out. And then I see there's a couple of them still hanging around. We're like the old guys at this point.
Yeah, we're the ones that go to the open mics, and everybody's like, he shows up every week. And we never know if he makes it to a show or not, but he keeps on trying. He keeps going up, and it's like, one day I will have that audience. And I'm like, good for you.
We're like the guys at the open mic where you're like, is he 50 trying comedy right now? Like, is he 50 years old just telling his first joke?
Yeah, I mean, it's the guy who's like, I'm going to read a newspaper and just walk in, and I'm just going to improv everything I'm going to talk about tonight, and that's gonna like really grab people, and I'm gonna get booked by doing this.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm getting to the age now in comedy, I guess, where I don't care anymore. Like, I'm just kind of like, I'm gonna take the gigs as I get them and just kind of enjoy it. But I'm kind of like, eh, my ship's probably sailed. I'm not getting big anywhere. If anything I'm ever going to do, it's going to be like self-produced, and I'm just going to make it for myself, basically.
Your Mayflower has set sail for the United States, Scotty?
Yeah, see, my Mayflower has set sail. You, on the other hand, you're still hanging on to that dream that you're an original pilgrim.
I mean, I feel it in my blood, Scotty. I feel like if you need an impromptu Thanksgiving dinner, I can produce. I think that's what would happen.
Yeah, but I don't just want carrot cake for dinner. I want something other than carrot cake, you know?
And I'm fairly confident that the ancient pilgrims just ate carrot cake, Scott. it naturally grows in the ground, and you're not going to eat them raw, so you make a cake out of it.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I know you were the. I know you have lineage to the original carrot cake baker for Squanto. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean to insult you. I mean, you are the original people, according to you.
I'm the OP.
Yo, OP's in the house. OP's in the house.
Original pilgrim, yo.
What do you got?
So you were talking about a stressful weekend. I kind of had the same thing. Can you think of anything worse than a Sunday wedding?
Well, considering I had a Sunday wedding,
well, so you told me you were miserable that day. I recall that. you were like texting me, and I was like, Alex wants me to say I do, but you want a podcast?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I have been in this situation in my life where I have had two weddings because I was divorced, and I had a Friday wedding and a Sunday wedding, right? So here's why, I also had a Sunday brunch wedding. Now here's why I thought the Sunday wedding was amazing, right? Because Friday, right? You got to take off at least Friday. If you're in the wedding, you got to take off Thursday, right? So if you're if you're a groomsman, right, you basically got to take off Thursday. So now you're burning 2 days. Sunday weddings, if you're a groomsman, you have Saturday off already, right? And if you want to burn a day, you could take a Monday off rather than the Friday where the wedding is actually happening. So now you're giving yourself a day of recovery.
Yeah, but you're talking about people in the wedding. I'm talking about you just guest number 125 show up on a Sunday afternoon for a wedding.
I could see that how that could be bad. But as time has gone on, I know more and more people that are getting married on Fridays or Sundays because Saturdays in New Jersey are way too expensive. Everything's insane. Everything's like 200 plus a plate on Saturdays.
Well, I mean, everything is packed up as is. Now that the world opened up, it's like near impossible. So I'm guessing more people pick Sundays. But
okay,
it was a very anxious wedding because we kind of went into it. So my brother's ex and her family don't really get along with our family.
Right.
And there was this weird kind of lead up to it where there's a lot of stories of they better not talk to us. Better not talk to us kind of deals.
All right. So give us the Becca. Who is getting married here?
Who's getting married? It was my lovely niece, Gina. First of my brother's daughters to get married.
Is that crazy for you? Is that like a crazy reality of we talked about age before when you think about like your son, your brother's kids getting married. Is that like, holy crap, I'm old?
Well, I mean, I already went through my sister's daughter, and that was...
Okay, so you had a little bit of experience here.
Yeah. I've been to... it ain't my first rodeo, okay?
Right.
I've been to family weddings, you know. I show up.
I'm not old.
No. You just came out of nowhere. That's totally different.
Right.
But,
okay.
So there was kind of a bit of tension. Like, I'm not fully, I don't talk to that side of the family, but like, I was hearing like stories of like basically my brother and his ex don't get along. So they were both like saying, all right, we're not doing a single picture together. Under any circumstances, under any reason, are we doing any pictures together?
Okay.
And then there was like talk from the other side of, I don't want to talk to my parents. And it's like, oh, my parents won't talk. It's like the lead up to it was you're almost sitting back going like, man, we're going to be like throwing vases at each other at my niece's wedding
Isn't it funny that like a wedding is always never about the actual couple? It's always about everybody else at the wedding, which is...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hate that. It's like somewhere, like Mike, I was just having this conversation today. I think it was my generation. I would consider you like kind of in the same generation, but just after my generation, weddings became like this thing where it just became, can I top the last wedding I was at? Can I make it bigger, more extravagant, more original? Where, like, I feel like just before that was like, hey, it's my wedding. Come to this party. It's going to be really nice. But somewhere along the line, weddings got out of hand where, like, I've seen fireworks. I've seen food trucks. I've seen, comedians and dancers coming to, like, somewhere along the line, it just became like, this is no longer a wedding. It's just this outdoing.
Extravaganza. Yeah,
exactly. And I don't think either of my weddings were ever that extravagant. I always tried to keep them on. But like, people are getting married in like, come to my wedding in Guadalajara, Mexico. Come to my wedding in Florida at this castle. Like, I think a destination wedding is almost insulting in some ways. It's like, okay, so now I got to book a trip to come. Well, I got to book a vacation to come see you. You know, like,
well, sorry, I told you you can come down to Georgia to mine. Sorry,
no, you live there. That's not a destination. I just couldn't make it, you know?
I'm joking.
No, I know.
This is a joking show, okay?
No, but I'm saying, like, that is not what I'm talking about. Like, these weddings have gotten so extravagant where it's like, all right, let's spend $100,000 on a wedding just to prove how in love we are. And all that happens with that is takes away everything from the couple and just makes it about the families and the extended families and the cousins can't get along with this guy and they can't sit with this guy and they can't. So I totally agree with you here.
Yeah. I will say this one wasn't extravagant and all. It was a very cute little wedding and all. It was like an hour away in the middle of the woods of Georgia. So like no cell phone reception, barely any kind of fan or air conditioning. So 9 degrees, 80% humidity. Like my shirt took a bath that day.
Just how you like it. In the middle of the woods, hot, no one can find you, no cell phone reception. Just how you like it.
No, you're thinking of something else, Scott. you're thinking of like a Jason Voorhees kind of person.
Michael Voorhees is what you're saved in as my phone.
Well, if you're going to go the horror route, you say Michael Myers. Come on.
No, you're not that cool. You're not that cool.
What?
You're Michael Voorhees. You're the stepbrother of Jason.
You don't think I can pull off the face, quote unquote.
I don't know.
You don't think I could pull that off?
You know what? Maybe you should do all the podcasts for the next couple weeks in Michael Myers' face so we can figure this out.
I'm going to have to find one. I feel I can make that challenge happen.
I can't wait till we're like, hey, we're talking to blah, blah, blah from the successful band.
Guys, we got former First Lady Michelle Obama. Michelle, ignore my co-host right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
He seems to be staring at me. The Secret Service is getting a little concerned about your friend here.
Yeah. Anyway, continue. I feel like I'm interrupting.
But it was a hot, sweaty in the back of the woods of Georgia. I will say no blows came to be, no bad conversations or anything like that. Everything was cordial, so that was kind of nice. I will kind of say kind of like that whole week going into it kind of sucked for me because like I had the Friday off for Juneteenth, but I basically, since the wedding was on Father's Day, I had to make the trip to go see the parents and do like the Father's Day thing on Friday.
Right.
Then
right.
I was out all day Saturday. Then I was out all day Sunday, and work kind of forced me in on Monday. So I just had like that.
Man,
there was a point where it's just like the brain is just like,
so you're saying that pilgrim life is tough.
Well, that's not pilgrim life. Like, pilgrim life is just hanging around rocks with people that we won't name because they won't be around after the pilgrims show up. And, you know, you just have, like, a little community where you, like, eat maize and shoot turkeys and stuff. And that's life. Like, that's Monday through Sunday, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
So your idea of downtime is eating maize and shooting turkeys.
I didn't know that was a question. I just figured that's a natural.
I mean, we'll just let the audience decide on that one. Eating maize and shooting turkeys. That's Mikey Pilgrim over there.
Yeah, I mean, what can I tell you, man? We got a full life.
Do you cook the maize or you just eat it right off the stalk?
It depends on the day. Sometimes Mikey Pilgrim's just like, I can't wait for this thing to boil and just
Right.
Brax had a raw maze. I mean, Mike, you never know what happens.
I'm starting to wonder about our relationship here. I don't know what's going on anymore. I feel like we've jumped the shark 400 times.
Scott, if you end the show, you're going to lose your guaranteed 10 minutes of Idiocracy every week. And then
that you think it's only 10 minutes.
Well, it's longer, but you talk about you need at least 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
You get rid of that hour and a half, and then the wife is like, oh, now you got all this free time. You know, maybe we can talk about baby shoes or something like that. And you're
all right. You're right. You're right. Now that you bring that point up, Mike, I'm re-signing your contract for another 100 episodes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. You heard it here. You heard it here.
Best negotiator ever.
You heard it here, folks. He's going to be here to 463 or something like that.
It was a beautiful wedding and all that, but it was just so much angst going into it and all. And like when there's no cool place. Like literally, like people were fighting to get in front of those portable air conditioners to just waft their like armpits and stuff.
That's like a wedding tradition in Georgia, right? The bride
wafting of the armpits. Yeah, that's how the father gives away the bride.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, okay, bride, stand here, and every guest comes up and wafts the armpits, and then she has to choose who her best suitor would be.
Yes, yes. The best wafter always finds his mate.
Right.
That's what I've always found. Right. I mean, that's what happens, and all like. You don't work your waft hand, you're going to be single for a long time.
What hand is your waft hand? Are you a righty or lefty?
Well, I mean, it's valuable to get a southpaw, just like in baseball.
All right, so I would be valuable, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, oh, this is coming in from a direction I didn't foresee, and it's so unique. You know, sometimes an average left-handed wafter can beat a good right-handed wafter just on the uniqueness of the situation.
See, here, Mike, is where I ask you. Now, here's where the podcast comes back full swing. Okay. I had asked you years ago, like episodes ago, if you got paid enough, could you just fan a man for every day? You know,
I'm married. I can't be a professional wafter like that.
No, but then, like, but
my wife would be.
But my question to you is, in this hot Georgia middle of the woods ceremony that year, would you have hired a fanboy, someone to just fan you the whole time?
That would be nice.
See?
See? Nice.
This is where the podcast comes full circle. Would you, just a guy who had a bunch of those grape leaves?
That would be so fancy. Like, get guys in like nice suits, just coming in, another waft, sir. Yes, please.
Exactly. So the line's building up by the air conditioner. You're like, nah, I'm good. You're right where I am. And then you're like, yeah. And then the waft boys just come over and they're just wafting your pits.
My wafties, they come to get the job done, Scott. That's what
you know. Last week we talked about different fan bases and names of people. So the wafties are your boys.
Yeah, the wafties. That's where I hook up with. You know.
I don't know if I could do this any longer. I think we have gone off the rails so much, Mike, that we've lost any audience we've ever had.
We had one to begin with.
We had one. Yeah. We had one.
Don Pagnotto. Yeah.
I guarantee we had two because I get a comment like once a week, like you guys are idiots. But that's
really?
That's basically it. That's basically it. We had about like two loyal fans.
Comments. I want to see who are these people.
You're like, oh my god, the comments are coming in. You guys are idiots.
Yes. They're all terrible, but we're at least getting comments.
Oh my god. Anyway, guys, it is time. It's time to wrap this up. Mike, do you have anything to promote before we go?
Well, you know, when I want to cool down from a nice hot Georgia wedding, I go to my favorite brewery, which is Halfway Crooks down in Atlanta, Georgia, by the Georgia State Stadium. Excellent food there every single time. They have different festivals throughout the year. They just had an Austria festival where they made special brews and food for it all throughout the year. They have a big screen upstairs to show different games. They were showing all the Copa games with England and the European soccer matches going on. I always have a great time. Always solid, delicious beer. Halfway Crooks beer in Atlanta, Georgia.
And I would just quickly promote, if you guys want to come out to a comedy show, we're doing one more outdoor show for the summer. Verbal Shenanigans comedy show at Rock Ridge Country Club here in Denville, New Jersey, on July 9th. There are tickets still available with Jackie Byrne, Matt Jenkins, and Mike Burton, and myself. You have to sit through my set, but, you know, that's why the tickets are so cheap. But go check out Rock Ridge Country Club. Rock Ridge Community Club in New Jersey. There's tickets for sale online. Other than that, guys, I would like to thank William Ryan Key, for his interview tonight. What a great guest. Other than that, guys, please like us on social media. Give us some love. Follow us. And other than that, Mike, you're a pilgrim. I'm gonna get a Fantuan brand on my left shoulder because these people have been phenomenal. Thank you, Fantuans. Other than that, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Now, where have I been all these years? And how come I just couldn't see? Like a blind man walking around in darkness, I was a pilgrim for your love. I was a pilgrim for your love.
I hate you.